The Veritas Radio Network and the Crusade Channel present Kurt Wallace's The Flow. Real interviews with real people revealing real truths. Heard exclusively on the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade Channel and available online at veritasradionetwork.com. Radio, the way it should be.
Presented by Veritas Radio Network, I'm Kurt Wallace, and this is The Flow. Our guest today is Diamond Dallas Page. He sits down with me to discuss his life growing up in New Jersey, raised by his father at an early age, and then his grandmother. He talks about overcoming downtimes in his life. He shares how he went from managing clubs to becoming one of the most popular professional wrestlers in history, starting at age 35. He then tells us why the documentary, The Resurrection of Jake the Snake, is the most important thing he's accomplished in his life. And he shares how his health program, DDP Yoga, has had unexpected impacts on people's lives. This is an interview you won't hear anywhere else. And Diamond Dallas Page, thanks for spending time with us today on The Flow.
Good to be on, buddy.
Well, in terms of your life, you grew up in New Jersey. And, well, let's just start from the beginning. I mean, you were raised by your dad, right?
Well, I lived with him. I wouldn't call it raised by him.
I lived with him from
0 to 8 years old, and then pretty much went to live with my grandmother. My dad was a good guy, had a good heart, still a good guy, but he was not the best decision maker ever. And he would, you know, he partied like there was no tomorrow a lot of times. Which, you know, there was a lot of things in Jake the Snake Roberts that I saw in my, or I should say a lot of things I saw in Jake that I saw in my dad.
Yeah. It's interesting because I saw the documentary when it came out, and I actually interviewed Jake the Snake about that and about his life and addiction, and that and that's an experience that I've had too. I'm actually a recovering alcoholic myself, and with 30 years. And
that's awesome.
In terms of growing up with that kind of an experience and then having the opportunity to reach out to people that you've been close to in your life and your career, what does that mean to you?
You know, it doesn't really – I don't really know how to answer that question, you know, in a way that it's – I didn't step out here to do this with Jake to help him recover from his addiction. Uh-huh. I really stepped out to help Jake get out of pain. Mm. You know, I stepped up and to help him because, you know, to really understand our relationship, you have to understand my career. And there is no Diamond Dallas Page without the American dream, Dusty Rhodes. He gave me every break I ever had in my life.
Really?
In the early part that really meant something. Mm. But there's no three-time world champion without Jake the Snake Roberts in my life. I never have the storybook career that I had. And, you know, I was the anomaly. I was never supposed to happen. You know, a guy who starts wrestling at 35, his career takes off at 40 years old. That was in 1996. 1997 and 98, I was on top of the world. You know, wrestling owned the cable networks. Mm. You know, between the WCW and the then WWF, top 10 shows on television, on cable, four of them, normally 1, 2, and 3, sometimes 4. Sometimes it was 1, 2, 3, and 5, or 1, 2, 3, and 6, but we had 4 shows in the top 10 every week. You know, we controlled the cable networks pretty much, wrestling, and that's when I was at the peak of my career. And then right at the end of 98, I blew my back out so severely that I had 3 of the top spine specialists in the world tell me I was never going to wrestle again. And, that was, you know, pretty depressing, but I'm the kind of guy who I get pulled down by what I call emotional gravity, just like everyone else. My gift is I don't stay there. Mm-hmm. Because if you stay there, you're screwed. And you're just going to wallow in your self-pity and misery. You know, for every single negative thing that happens to you, there's a really positive, you know, window just around the corner. You just got to find it. Like for me, when I blew my back out, I literally had just signed a multi-million dollar three-year deal with WCW. That was written, because I never thought I was going to get hurt. I mean, who does? It was written in the way that if I didn't wrestle, that contract would have got cut in half the first year, cut in half the second year, cut in half the third year. So it wouldn't have been a multi-million dollar deal anymore. Plus, I wouldn't be able to live the dream anymore. So I needed to get back in that ring. But three of the top spine specialists told me I was never going to get back in. And that's where DDP yoga comes into my life at a whole different level. And it really, you know, helped to heal me, you know, in a way that put me back in the ring in less than 3 months. You know, at 42, they said my career is over. 42 years old, at 43, I was a heavyweight champ of the world. You know, again, without Jake Roberts' guidance over that period, you know, going, you know, into my career taking off, I never would have had that career. So I made a lot of money, and I wanted to pay Jake back. I wanted to help him out. And I tried a couple times and, you know, didn't work. He wasn't ready yet. And the last time I came around, he's pretty much waiting to die. You interviewed him, you know.
Yeah. Oh, I know exactly. Yeah, you have to reach that hopeless state, really, and unfortunately. And what's interesting to me is sort of this, the irony of your story with him specifically in the fact that you sought his help to understand the business. And what is that? I mean, the whole industry of wrestling is such a phenomenon. It is a sport. It's a dangerous sport, but it's also entertainment. It's like the best of both worlds. You get to do things that other athletes don't get to do in terms of playing a role and being an entertainer in that way. Can you put your finger on, you know, the phenomenon of this type of entertainment?
You know, I think it's, I don't know about putting my finger on it, but, you know, when you look at, you know, like Broadway plays, you know, it's theater on the stage, and that play is never going to change. It's going to be the same play. Chicago is the same play that it was in 1982 that it is in 2016. Same play. Wrestling is a play where the story changes. The people change just like they do in a regular theater, but the matches are completely different, and the outcome, you never know what it is. And you may even think, you know, like everything says this is going to happen, but it doesn't work out that way. And then there's a little thing called, and this is why it works. There's a little thing called element of doubt. Like, wait a minute. These guys really hate each other. Wow. They are really beating the hell out of each other. You know, it takes us back to our childhood, you know, believing and wanting to believe in Santa Claus. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like there's this guy who can jump down a chimney and leaves all these presents, and you know, people want to be surprised. They want to believe. I mean, how many movies? I mean, Miracle on 34th Street is all about you got to believe, and the belief really isn't so much in Santa Claus as it is in faith that good is going to triumph. Mm-hmm. That you're going to get to live the dream, or at least a portion of it. Because most people are so afraid to say they're going to live their dream because they're afraid they're going to fail. I think it's a lot of reasons why parents try almost destroy some kids' dreams. Yeah. Because they probably failed. Their parents failed. And now their kids, you know, might as well get them to quit now because they're going to fail. And I don't want them to go through that disappointment, which is like the stupidest thing ever. Mm-hmm. You know, what they should do is just support their dream. And, you know, because most times when you keep working towards a goal, working towards a dream, you get some portion of it. Mm-hmm. And I know because I live the dream every day. I still do at a whole different level now. You know, what I'm doing today with DDP Yoga is changing lives like at a whole different level. But the three things that I've achieved so far through focusing on the dream, really four things. When I was a kid, I wanted to run nightclubs. I wanted to be in the middle of the booze, the broads, and the party.
And you did.
And
that.
I was.
Yeah. Fort Myers, Florida, you had a club, right? That you ran.
I ran places in New Jersey, Texas, and Florida. Yeah. And I left that dream to follow the wrestling dream for no guarantee of anything but $350 a show. I moved from Florida to Atlanta. Dusty Rhodes set me up with that, and I managed the Freebirds. And you know, I didn't have any guarantee of anything. I went at 35 years old from living in a pretty sweet condo down in Florida to living with a buddy of mine in a spare room. You know, and a lot of people thought I was crazy, you know, to leave the bar business. I was very successful there. But I wanted to be involved in wrestling. I never really wanted to be a manager, but I thought I was too old to wrestle. I started managing with the AWA when I was 31 years old. I mean, I literally made up a videotape of me and guys who wanted to be wrestlers and sent it to the AWA. And I got a call 2 weeks later. Now, if I knew how many people sent videotapes in, I probably never would have done it. because I was ignorant. And a lot of times, ignorance is bliss. And 2 weeks later, this guy, Rob Russin, who I'm still in contact with today, in 1988, coming up on 28 years ago, calls me up. And he says, Diamond Dallas, I'm looking for Diamond Dallas Page. I said, yeah, okay, that's me. I just made all that up. Uh-huh. Yeah. There was no Diamond Dallas Page. It was in my head. I wrote it down on a calendar pad I had on my desk, like a ledger pad I had on my desk. And it's that night when we were drinking with my buddies, I came up with Diamond Dallas Page. My wrestlers would be from the Diamond Exchange. I would have diamond dolls. There were no divas in professional wrestling before the Diamond Dolls. Oh. Look back in history. I mean, Elizabeth was beautiful, but she was girl next door beautiful. After that, the women were fair looking at best. And the women who were with me, the Diamond Dolls, were stripper hot. And that's just the way it was, because that's where most of them were. And they just wanted to be on TV and have fun. And a lot of them were friends of mine. And, you know, some of them were freaking college students and stuff. You know, that ended up becoming professors. But back in the day, they were bodybuilder type girls that were smoking hot. So I made up all this stuff, made videos of them, sent it to the AWA with these guys who wanted to be wrestlers. Mm. And they called me up and said, I want to bring you in for a tryout, you and your guys. Because the AWA was losing a lot of talent that time. They were looking for new talent. And then Rob said to me, you know, I've showed your tape around and everybody likes your shtick, but no one's ever heard of you. Where are you guys wrestling now? Mm. And I was like, well, you know, I gotta be truthful with you. Yeah. You know, none of those guys can wrestle. And he was like, what? I was like, well, you know, it's like a secret society. No one can figure out how to get in. And there was no WWE Performance Center back then. Mm-hmm. There was no Tough Enough show back then. And no one knew how to get in. And they were like, don't call us, we'll call you. But then Paul Heyman, you know, our careers have crossed paths many times. Back in those days, it was called Paulie Dangerously. And he had just left the AWA to go to the NWA with his wrestlers. NWA would technically really become WCW. He left a big hole there for a young guy that could talk. So they brought me in. Next thing you know, I'm on ESPN and I'm introducing my world tag team champions, Bad Company. And that's how the dream started, you know, and for the first 3.5 years, it cost me money to be Diamond Dallas Page.
Really?
And, wow. Yes, I didn't make any money. Yeah. Making $150 a pop. Yeah. You know, I got a free trip out to Las Vegas. Yeah, they flew me up, put me in, you know, Showboat Hotel, which is a, you know, level two hotel, two-star hotel at the best. And we did our thing. I stayed for the weekend, had fun in Vegas, and went home. And I did that in Florida Championship Wrestling, where I was a color commentator that Dusty Rhodes brought me in for. I worked with late, great Gordon Solie. Learned a lot about the business. Then when I came to WCW, when they had the Dream doing a polka dotted gimmick when he was up in the WWF at the time, and he made that work, but he was like done with that. And he said, you know, I'm going to go back and run WCW, and he brought me in. And that's how I ended up there. And after 7 months of doing the managing and the talking, creating Scott Hall's gimmick, you know, that later would become Razor Ramon. But before there was Razor Ramon, there was the Diamond Stud. I completely changed Scott Hall's look, gave him the toothpick, everything. You know, if anybody out there's, you know, got Scott Hall's The Razor's Edge, which is on WWE, a 3-DVD set. Yeah. If you got The Razor's Edge, well, you hear Scott Hall tell you that whole story, how I changed the color of his hair, shaved his mustache. He adds that he was like probably 13 and changed his whole look. And they said I was overshadowing him. And he warned me about it. He's like, D, you're too animated outside. You're taking the attention off the wrestling. And bottom line is I was still color commentating at the time for, you know, like fourth string color commentator. And they told me they can't let me manage anymore. It's not my fault. They just should have given me a pair of tights and boots and see if I could do this. I was 35. I was 35 and a half years old.
That's crazy. And that's pretty old.
That's how it started. Pretty old. There'll never be another person to do it ever.
Well, and you were an athlete in high school too. You were a basketball player.
Sure.
Something you said earlier about you know, we all go through struggles in life, and we can stay in it or get out of it. If we stay in it too long, it's a scary place. And overcoming our some of the programming that we get as we grow up, the influences of family and whatnot. How did you deal with that? How did you keep from letting that affect you?
Which part?
Well,
which
part? In terms of having you know, people telling you, listen, we're going to parents will limit their kids. We'll limit them.
Oh, you mean you can't? Well, I didn't really have anybody around.
Yeah.
So I had everybody else telling me. Like, my grandmother raised me, you know, and she would take me to practice when I played football or hockey or basketball. Uh-huh. She'd bring me to practice, but she never stayed and watched. So she really didn't know what I could or couldn't do. Yeah. But everyone around me told me I couldn't do it for this reason or that reason. You know, I've found that, you know, people are really good at telling you what you can't do.
Yeah.
Like, they're really good at that. People are really good at being negative.
Yeah.
And, you know, the challenge is to be positive. You know, there's in my book, Positively Page, there's a bunch of colored, you know, pictures. And at the end is one of me holding the belt, mm-hmm. you know, the world title belt over my head. I'm 43 years old. No one in professional wrestling had ever been awarded the world championship belt for their first time at 43. Mm-hmm. Or I don't even know about in their 40s, period. I don't know anybody. You know, maybe years and years and years ago, but I doubt it. I don't know. But I do know when I had that picture in my book, Positively Page, underneath the caption was, this goes out to everyone who said I could never or would never achieve this. Because no one could have motivated and inspired me more to prove them wrong. There's a way to use that negative energy to combat people who, you know, believe that you can't do things, but you've got to be able to really focus on what is the positive part of it. And then you got to put the work in. You know, where a lot of people fail is because they stop. One of my favorite quotes ever is, it's not about how many times you fall down. It's about how many times you get back up that counts. Mm-hmm. Like, I deal with people in weight issues. because DDP yoga has become a really strong part about weight loss, but it was never about weight loss.
Yeah.
DDP yoga is about healing my body, getting me back in the ring so I could live the dream. Like, I have a section on ddpyoga.com that just is about, let me see, I'm going to pull it up so I say exactly what it is while I'm talking to you. Mm-hmm. Someone just sent me a picture of this little girl who's got to be like 3 years old doing down dog. In the background is a picture of me on the TV. She's got to be like 5 years old working out with me, to me is one of the greatest, positive messages ever, that I can influence a little kid like that. Let me look down. Here it is. It's stories of recovery and pain management. And what I did was I grabbed people's tweets, and like, you can't make people tweet stuff. Like, you can't make 22,000 people throw up the diamond cutter sign. Just can't make them do it. You can make 20, maybe 50. You can't make 22,000. I was at WrestleMania, this last WrestleMania. There's 101,000 people in the arena. There's a shot of just a section. There's a section of this 101,000 people. And there must be 15,000 people in the section. 85% of them are holding up the diamond cutter. So how many had the diamond cutter sign up when I threw that up out there? Maybe 70,000? You can't make people do that. You can't make people chant DDP or Stone Cold or Rocky.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got to feel it. They got to be moved to action. When you get to the pain spot where it's stories of recovery and pain management, it's one tweet after another. People talking about how I've healed their back, healed their knees, healed their shoulders. Like, I can't get people to write that. They just write it. And I've only been capturing this stuff for the last few months. If I'd have been doing it the whole time, I'd have 150 pages of it.
We have
so it's about relief, pain relief, and then healing your body. Weight loss, though, is a whole other animal, and I help people stay on track, and they understand they got to put the work in.
We have to go to a break. We'll be back on the flip side of the break. We have our special guest, Diamond Dallas Page. You're listening to The Flow with Kurt Wallace.